The final home conference game this week, Tennessee and Mississippi State, coming up Saturday at 7 o'clock. And, guys, this is another chance to tune up the offense, try to jumpstart the engine a little bit. Thought there were some positive signs last week, but they still only scored 7 points in the first half.
Yeah, I'm not sure if tune-up's the right word. I mean, I think it's a little bit more. It's not an overhaul, but I think it's a little bit more than a tune-up, Rob. It's just a mess in the first half for this team offensively.
It's weird. I mean, not that they've been a juggernaut in the second half all the way, but they put up 24 against Alabama. I mean, did what they needed to do in the second half against Kentucky. So, I mean, the you feel like the ingredients are there. And it's weird, and it's not just Nico in the passing game. I mean, I think we all think Dylan Sampson's great. Even he, you know, is kind of sluggish in the first half.
And I mean, Tennessee's moving the football. It's the issue with Tennessee in the first half on Saturday was just couldn't finish drives. You dropped touchdown pass. You had a fumble, a couple missed field goals, some penalties that moved the sticks back a little bit. It's, you know, you had almost 500 yards total offense. A lot of that came in the first half. You just couldn't finish. So. The point differential for this football team offensively, second half to first half, is mind-blowing. So hopefully they can get that going a little bit earlier. You can't afford to be in a hole against some of these better teams.
We talked about this after the game. I'm going to go ahead and reiterate it here. I thought, you know, the one bright spot from Saturday was the performance you got out of Nico. It was his best game against a Power 4 opponent. If he can continue to do that, then you have to think the offense is going to figure it out in some form or fashion. At some point over the next few weeks, I'm not ready to say they are who they are. I'm not ready to say that yet because I saw enough of a flicker with the way he performed that makes me think, okay, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I think he played really well and obviously made some improv plays and off platform plays, Rob, that were really good plays in the second half. There's a part of me though that kind of feels like they are what they are in the first half, and I don't know that you can magically fix that, but certainly Nico played his best. I don't disagree with that notion at all.
Oh, same here, and I think I agree with what AP is saying because I think that you can still get, you know, significant growth out of a quarterback that is this early in his career, and I think you saw that, you know, Saturday. And man, this I don't want to change the subject too quick, but what an opponent to work some kinks out against this week when you're talking about, you know, Tennessee's offense.
AP, I'm with you. I mean, to this point, like they kind of are who they are. But like you can't fool me. I mean, there were a couple of touchdowns that were for naught in that first half. So again, if you hit one of those, if you hit a down the field pass, I mean, against Alabama, that changes the course of the game. So sure, Tennessee is a really good defensive team right now. That's the reason in the college football playoff conversation. They've got super high potential offensively. It just hasn't clicked yet. I'm kind of with you. It's super close, but we've been saying that the last couple of weeks. And to Rob's point, I mean, we said this going to Kentucky. We said this going into Florida. If there's a week, it's right here because that Mississippi State defense is abysmal.
Yeah, it's like that scene from Iron Man when his little chest thing goes out and there's all of a sudden that flicker. That was the performance by Nico for me. That was the flicker. Does it come back on? We'll find out. Dylan Sampson.
He's got to have help. It's not just him.
No, 100%.
I mean, in the Alabama game, a lot of the misses were on him.
Which goes back to what Josh has said. It's more than just one person.
Yeah, I mean, it's everybody. And that's why you end up with, in the last four games, you've got, you know, four missed field goals, six first half turnovers, you know, a turnover on downs. I mean, it's just been, can't get out of your own way. And the question is, can they figure out how to get out of their own way?
And they've caught a lot of heat. Offensive line better pass protection-wise. Last six quarters, I think, which has helped Nico a lot.
Yeah, helped him a lot. Dylan Sampson continues to do what he does. I mean, the guy just scores touchdowns and racks up yards. I mean, 141 on the night, and he basically almost said, well, how long did he set? About a quarter after he fumbled? I mean, it's clear Darrell Sims values taking care of the football. If you fumble, you're going to set for a minute.
Well, and I think they have to be cautious with him in the first half, too, because they're leaning on him so heavily in the second half when they get in that rhythm. So I think there was a regular rotation already scheduled in there for Dylan Sampson that changed because Deshaun Bishop got hurt. And listen, give Darrell Sims credit and Josh Heupel credit that, hey, next man up mentality, and Peyton Lewis went and delivered. But, I mean, Sampson's playing well. He's going to go over 1,000 yards. He's setting all kinds of records, and Tennessee needs him to be at his best down the stretch here.
Yeah, and I thought that game was noteworthy against Kentucky because his longest run was 17 yards. I mean, he got 100. It was a different kind of game for him. It wasn't like he gashed him
right.
for four or five, you know, big plays. And I think that's, you know, talks to his development as a runner. He's never going to be Earl Campbell, but he has added some weight. He's, you know, Josh talked in the preseason about he was better between the tackles. You saw that on Saturday night.
You talk about a flicker, AP, and I know if you're watching this on YouTube, you just saw that play. It should have been blown dead. I mean, how many football games do you watch a play like that go on? But, I mean, the fact that the entire offense is pushing him into the end zone, I thought that was so cool. You got a quarterback leading the charge right in there, an offensive lineman that falls down, getting back up. I thought that was really, really neat. Dylan Sampson, I mean, it's death, taxes, and second half Dylan Sampson. He's been incredible and a huge reason why this offense is, yeah, not starting the way you want to, but it's finishing games the way you need it to.
Defensively, you're playing a Mississippi State team that plays similar to how you play, right, with Jeff Levy as their head coach. So this defense should be used to it. They went up against them in practice every day for 4 years.
They have, and you think that helps them. That gives them a better chance than other teams that come in to play Tennessee and say, hey, we can handle the tempo because we've done it this week in practice. We've got a good feel for it. Mississippi State's committed to going fast. They're going to go fast, whether it's an incomplete, whether it's not. That's why this defense is having such a hard time, because they're just on the field so much. But Rob, I mean, Tennessee has to adjust to that fact, right? You can't shift change as much as you want to. You can't sub package in. Got to get your legs out. You know, get your legs under you early. Got to play with an edge that I didn't think Tennessee had as good of an edge against Kentucky as they'd had a couple previous weeks.
Yeah,
I mean,
that was statistically, if you look at it, I mean, Kentucky got after him pretty good, especially on the ground. Almost 170 yards rushing. That was very uncharacteristic. That's almost twice what Tennessee has been given up in SEC play. And Mississippi State, I mean, the record is what it is, I mean, but they have moved the ball on people. I mean, they scored almost 30 points on Georgia. Scoring points has not been the problem. They're historically bad on defense. But Tennessee is going to have to be ready for a team that will move the ball. And like you say, tempo is going to be, you know, something you expect them to be used to. But, I mean, they see it on the practice field, not necessarily Neyland Stadium. It'll be different.
Yeah, not winning any awards offensively as Mississippi State, but there's a pulse there, and they do put up some points, and it's a much better unit defensively. Defensively, look at the stats in the SEC. They're last in literally everything. They're giving up over 200 yards rushing per game. The point total is almost, I think it's at eight, eight away from the 15th place team. I mean, again, it's a really bad defense. It's a defensive structure and a team that, you know, Tennessee's very familiar with, so I think it's a great opportunity.
Oh, Boo cracks me up on that. Why did you go inside? Go outside. That still cracks me up. The joy of Boo playing football. This game, to me, it's got a Peyton Lewis-type game written all over it. He's going to get more carries because I think Deshaun Bishop's probably likely not going to go in this one. We'll see if it heals up more. But, you know, if he's the guy that gets more carries, then he's got a chance to, you know, against this defense, have a nice day for a true freshman.
Well, I mean, yeah, I thought he played well and did what he needed to do. Tennessee's just got to go out and figure out kind of who they are. Are they going to be a two tight end, 12 personnel team and live in that because that's where they're at their best throwing the football as well as the run game? Are they going to spread you back out? I mean, what all are they going to be, I think, is interesting because this is the last time, you know, obviously you go to Georgia and you got to have more than a flicker, right? It's got to be a high beam offensively when you go. So what does Tennessee look like in this game offensively? What are they trying to get done against a defense that's not very good?
Yeah, to me, I mean, they've got a chance to pull that rare, you know, double-double, 300 yards giving up passing, 200 yards giving up, you know, rushing per game. So this is what, I mean, I think it's, I mean, I don't want to say, you don't take it for granted, but I mean, I think you can really go in and work on what you want to work on offensively. I mean, if you, you know, whatever you feel like you need to tweak or take a look at, I think this is one where you can really get under the hood and do some of that.
Yeah, you absolutely do not treat this like a scrimmage or anything like that. But, I mean, the stats are what the stats are. This is a bad defense. So, you know, to your point, Brent, it feels like they trust 12 personnel much more right now. I mean, look at receiver. You trust Brew. Where are you at with Brazel? Thornton, where are you at with an injury? Squirrel played but didn't play as much because, I mean, obviously he's probably not 100%. So, you know, who receiver do you trust right now outside of Brew McCoy? You do trust Miles Kitzelman, Holton Stays, and that 12 personnel. So do we see more of that this week? Do we see more of that and in return see more of that against Georgia? I don't know. It's a good opportunity to work on all that this week.
I think whatever you plan on doing at Georgia is what you got to work on this week.
I agree.
That's a great point.
I think in a perfect world, you could do something different and work on some different things you've been struggling with. But I think whatever you're taking to Athens, you work on that this week. So you're going to have an advanced scout. You're going to kind of know what you want to, some semblance of an idea of what you're going to do in Athens. I think you work on that.
And you got a common opponent. Sorry, Brent.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, kind of reinforces that logic. You saw what Georgia did at Mississippi State.
Yeah, you've seen that thing. And again, I mean, you also have to be who you are. Now, when I say you be who you are, that's who you are personnel-wise, not necessarily production-wise, because I agree with you. I mean, they should produce more in the first half, and they are close and all those things. But at some time, too, I mean, you kind of are what you are at receiver, right? I mean, so are you a more – are you a heavy tight end team? Is yeah. that who you are? That's what you have to know and have a full identity of so that you can leave this game going, all right, this is our best chance to go down and put ourselves in a position to beat Georgia and make that a four-quarter, 60-minute fight. Whatever that looks like, that's where you got to be coming out at the end of this game.
He is Eric Kane, Rob Lewis, Colonel Rhodes. I'm Austin Price for the Rocky Top Roundtable.